Hi, this is Jerome Gilmartin, JMJ Catholic Radio, bringing local and EWTN Catholic programming to Northeastern and Central Pennsylvania. And welcome to the In the Father's Hands program with host Mary Kate Grady. Mary Kate's guest today is Jennifer Housel, Director of the Community and Family Development Office for Parish Life in the Diocese of Scranton. And Jennifer is involved in the ministries of marriage preparation, marriage encounter, grief, and bereavement. And she has a special interest in those afflicted with mental illness. And she will tell us about an upcoming education opportunity in our diocese for families facing this challenge. And Jennifer is from Scranton, where she and her husband live with their two children. Mary Kate?
Thank you so much, Jerry. And we're so glad to be with you all again, especially during this most holy season of the church year, where we remember the events of our redemption. And as always, I like to make a little pitch. Please remember to keep Catholic Radio, especially JMJ Catholic Radio, who does such good work here in our diocese, in your prayers, that JMJ will continue to be effective in spreading the good news of Jesus. And if any of you wish to contact JMJ Catholic Radio for any questions, if you'd like to make a donation, you can go ahead and call them at 570-287-4670. Again, that's 570-287-4670. And as always, I'd like to jump right in with opening our Bibles, the 10th chapter of St. John's Gospel, verse 27, where Jesus promises us, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." And as I always like to say, what a beautiful meditation to keep in our minds throughout the week of just how we're being held by the Father, especially when challenges come up in our life and things feel very uncertain and unsettled. The Father's always holding us and guiding our lives, no matter what we do or don't do. He's always there. He's in control and loving us with all his heart. So we thank you, Jesus, for this promise, and Heavenly Father, for the care that you give to us. We're so thankful. And I'm so happy today to have Jennifer Housel join us. Thank you, Jennifer, for coming on.
Yes, it's my pleasure. Thank you for the invite.
And Jennifer, I always like to start with asking my guests what their favorite Bible verse is and why they like it so much.
Certainly. So probably like most people, my answer to that question would change, has changed across my life.
So true.
Yes, but currently something verses that I'm finding really uplifting and inspirational at this season is from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the afflicted, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, release to the prisoners, to announce a year of favor from the Lord and a day of vindication by our God, to comfort all who mourn, to place on those who mourn in Zion a diadem instead of ashes, to give them oil of gladness instead of mourning, a glorious mantle instead of a faint spirit." And I find this, after decades in ministry, which probably many of our listeners can empathize with, decades in ministry, we have seasons of consolation, certainly, but seasons of desolation as well, when it feels like an uphill battle. I know the pandemic has made all of our work, whether it's in ministry directly or otherwise, more challenging, our personal lives more challenging. So I need for this scripture, and I actually have it on a board right at my desk in front of my face daily to remind me that I'm anointed to do God's work, and therefore graced with the resources to do that work. So that's why that's my scripture for the season.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I was just inspired listening to it as well, you know?
Yes.
I think the beautiful thing about Holy Week is that, you know, it's, we go through the whole story, right? We don't jump right to Easter and the resurrection because, you know, the Lord wants us to see, to acknowledge to us that we are going to face that good times and bad times. And it's, even when we're doing his work, it sometimes seems like things aren't going the right way or we're not being successful. You know, Jesus died on the cross. How successful did that seem until 3 days later? You know, it didn't.
Certainly. And of course, in my marriage ministries, this is a constant theme in our vocation, all vocations. But for me, this being kind of the hat that I wear, the vocation of marriage, what a lesson in the consolation, the desolation, the cycle that we go through throughout our years of marriage.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That's a big task that you have there, Jennifer. There's no doubt about it. That's wonderful. Would you share with us a little bit, Jennifer, how you feel like God has, how you've experienced God in your life, or how you feel like he's led you, you know, just in your own life or in the ministry that you do?
Certainly. It's a kind of a funny family story. My mother and father, I call them the poster children for what not to do in a married life. And they are, well, my father has since passed, but they have always been supportive of me sharing their story. A shotgun wedding when they were 16 and 17 years old.
Wow.
And they, yeah, went on to have two more surprise children by the time they were 20. I'm the youngest of the three. And just a lifetime, 53 years they were married, but a lifetime of challenges. But they persevered, and they prayed, and they had the fortitude, and they accepted the grace of the sacrament, reconciliation, sacrament of the Eucharist, along with their sacrament of marriage. And just such a beautiful, fruitful life they built together, despite the odds. But the joke is that my brother and sister were both born at General Hospital, and I was born at Mercy Hospital. So the joke in the family is that there was some kind of grace conferred from that experience right from the beginning. And
awesome.
I have to admit, I was just, have been graced with a naturally inborn, strong faith from a young age throughout my life, and have had the ability to nurture that with spiritual direction, with ministry, with the Curcio experience, with various other opportunities to enrich and form my faith through my 50-plus years.
Right. Wow. And you know something, Jennifer, that that can be challenging is when you take on ministry that you are, you know, like as you do, like through bereavement or through the marriage ministry, which is, I know it's just two of many things that you do, is that you're kind of like walking the way of the cross with other people, you know? So you really have to have like a firm faith of your own in order to lead others. But at the same time, we're all broken. So we're leading other people that are broken while we're still broken too. But talk maybe a little bit about like that with your ministries that you do, you know, what kind of like led you or called you into walking with people in this way?
So I think you're referencing the accompaniment model of ministry, which I am a firm believer in. I believe that's how Jesus did a lot of his ministry, walking with people, meeting them where they were, where they are in their life, and so often in the broken places. It can be easy for humans to feel they need nothing and no one when all is going well in life. But it is really in those moments when we are afraid, when we're uncertain, when we're in pain, that we are more willing to listen and to hear and to be open to what God has to help us heal, to give us what we need to go on through another day. Again, I'm just going to have to put this at the feet of God, grace me with what he has. So even my undergraduate degree was in psychology. My master's degree is in theology. This has just always been where he has led my heart.
Wow. How many years have you been working in the ministry that you're at there now at the diocese?
So I've been in my role at the diocese just over 4 years.
Okay. Okay. Wow, beautiful. I'm sure that you've learned a lot over all that time, you know.
Right. So the more we learn, the more we learn, we have more to learn. And that is definitely the case.
Absolutely.
The constant posture of humility. So that's a great way to say it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. So wonderful. So when with your position there, do you kind of like are a resource for all the parishes in the diocese, as well as, you know, right there in Scranton, where, you know, the seat is of the diocese?
Yes, so that's a regular challenge. We are an 11-county diocese, so the fact that the diocese, you know, the chancery is in Scranton means that there's, you know, a 3-hour drive across the state to reach some of our other parishes. So
wow.
That's a challenge. We're constantly working to improve how we meet. But yes, I am available not only to all of our parishes, but to any faithful, any person who has a question, has a need. They can always reach out to me directly and say, hey, here's a question, here's a need. And if I can't meet it or answer it, I will certainly do my best to find the person or the resource who can.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you for putting yourself out there to us like that. Much appreciated.
Yes.
I kind of want to transition into a little bit, if you don't mind me asking. In speaking with you, I know you have a special place in your heart for people struggling with mental health. And, you know, you are mentioning how you studied psychology, so you have a background in that area, you know, understanding, but also with the theology degree, you know, being able to like bring God into that, into people's struggle in their life, you know. And so I was just wondering kind of what attracted you to that ministry, and kind of how is that unfolding in your life right now of, you know, serving and helping people struggling with mental health issues?
So I feel at this time in our cultural history that people with mental illness are some of the most stigmatized, some of the most discriminated against, ostracized, misunderstood of any of our groups of people. Other groups have made great strides in acceptance and visibility, but if you think about someone with especially severe mental health and the way they are perceived, the way they are treated, it just, especially across the pandemic when mental health issues have only gotten worse, I just feel like this is a group, again, that the Lord is leading me to minister to in reference to reducing stigma, in reference to, again, accompanying them and those who support them in their life, bringing God's healing and accepting love to this group of people and their family members.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's you're so right on that. It's interesting for myself. I work at a hospital up here in Honesdale, Pennsylvania, and you get to, you know, different people in different parts of the hospital have different experiences. You know, people that work in the emergency department are probably the ones that encounter the widest variety of people and all their different struggles, of course, medical or mental. But, you know, as working at the hospital, I do get to be involved in that as well, taking care of people struggling with mental illness. I do know what you're saying about the pandemic. It seems like that really aggravated that for a lot of people. And maybe people that were struggling a little bit, it really kind of got a lot worse.
Yes.
For different reasons, of course, not, you know, maybe in the past they were able to interact with other people more, and so they were kind of keeping things together. But then when they couldn't, it really aggravated it, and it became really severe for them. And so it's interesting, you know, for me, you know, getting to have you on and talk about this, because I've gotten to, just through like hands-on experience at the hospital level, people aren't necessarily coming there specifically for you treating their mental health. There might be, in my case, they're having physical issues as well. So that's what brings them into the hospital. But meanwhile, when you get to be on the floors of people, you kind of get to talk to them, see what's going on. And I'm really aware that, you know, they're really struggling, but it's like, it's a lesson for me. They're teaching me, you know, they're teaching me kind of like maybe how I can help them out, you know? And so it's something that I love to think about. You're talking about accompaniment is when you meditate on the stations of the cross, you know, the one station is Simon of Cyrene helps Jesus carry the cross, or Veronica wipes the face of Jesus. And in my mind, when I think about those stations, it makes me think about like the work of what you do already, but like also in proceeding forward and helping people with mental illness. That's kind of what that is there, you know, Jesus calling us to help people carry their cross. It's like we can't carry it for them, but we can walk with them, you know.
Definitely. And that's what some misunderstand about mental health ministry through our church, is that it's not mental health treatment. It is emphatically not mental health treatment. It is support. It's ministry. It is walking with. It's, as you beautifully said, just helping that person carry that cross so that they know we, as representatives of Jesus, are with them in their suffering, praying with them, seeking to understand, and just to be that loving presence. We are the hands, the feet, the heart of Jesus to people. And so that is what mental health ministry is about, being that's just that prayerful support and reminding folks who are struggling with this and their family members that the church is here for you. Jesus is here for you. We can't take this away from you. We can't treat this for you, but we are here as a supporting, loving presence with you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So I one thing that I wanted to mention is that here in the diocese, there is the Scranton Mental Health Ministry at the Cathedral St. Peter. You and I were discussing that. And Deacon Ed Schoner's involved with that along with other people. But there is an education series coming up. Would you just tell us a little bit about that?
There is. And there are a few other parishes in our diocese who are working with these ministries. So it's a growing ministry. And also Deacon Ed is one of the founders of the Association for Catholic Mental Health Ministers, and which is national, and I think at this point, international. Okay. So this is definitely a ministry that is growing because of the need. So yes, this particular educational series, for those who would like to learn more, begins on Tuesday, April 19th, and it runs every Tuesday, ending with Tuesday, May 17th. And each of those Tuesday evenings will offer a different focus. And it's really just open to whomever wants to learn more.
Okay. Now, is it geared to people is it geared to people caring for people with mental health, or?
So it
like
could be
family or.
Sure. Well, let me just kind of read the tagline. The 5-part series is for families, and it's on mental health and mental illness, working to reduce stigma and discrimination through education and factual information about mental health conditions. The series seeks to reinforce the core Christian belief that everyone has dignity and value and should be fully welcomed into the church and the community. And so the first night is the impact of mental illness on individuals and families. The second is on spirituality and mental health. The third is spend an evening with a mental health professional for an introduction to the types of mental illnesses, treatments, etc. The fourth night is mental health resources in the community. This is something we need more resources for sure, but this is exploring what is available. And then the fifth night is companionship and mental health ministry in our parishes. Some of the practical ways that our parishes can offer support and companionship as individuals and their families face mental health challenges.
Okay.
Probably you're aware, especially in the medical profession, of the statistics of how many of us over the course of our life will struggle with some type of mental illness. And therefore, once you do the math, every person will be affected either by mental illness themselves or with a close family member or friend. So this really is an issue that touches all of our lives.
Mm-hmm. And where are they hosting that at, Jennifer?
So these gatherings are going to happen at the Diocesan Pastoral Center. That's on 330 Wyoming Avenue in Scranton, pretty much across the street from the Cathedral of St. Peter.
Oh, okay.
Downtown.
Sure. Okay.
And they'll be occurring from 6:30 to 8 p.m. on those Tuesday evenings.
Okay, great. Wonderful. And I know that I saw that there was a phone number here to make reservations, but they're not required. They gave that number 570-344-7231. Again, and for more details or just to let them know you're coming, 570-344-7231. And I like the different topics you mentioned there. It's hitting all different angles, which is great, you know.
Yes.
So I'm cheating here a little bit because I know we want people to go to it, but just maybe if you would give us a couple tips yourself, Jennifer. That last night it says companionship and mental health ministry in our parishes.
Yes.
Do you have any little tips for us personally that if any of us listening right now, even before we'd get to go to this series, are trying to work with or help people with mental health illness, what are some things that we can do as Catholic Christians to support them?
I would say the first thing for us all to do is to really empathize and sympathize with folks who are dealing with these struggles, to understand that they are pervasive. We are all dealing with this. We will all deal with this. So some of us may feel uncomfortable or frightened by mental health issues. So to try to ask God to help us, that instead of reacting with fear, instead of pulling away, that we react really with the love that Jesus would were he meeting that person. And just to listen and be kind.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, and you're the beautiful, one of the things that I love the most about being Catholic, Jen, is that when you're really living out your Catholic faith, the Catholic faith is so authentic in the sense that we don't shy away from suffering, right? We're so aware of it in our life as Christians, and and if you're really living out your Catholic faith authentically, you cannot help but acknowledge how weak you are and how much you need God's help. And so when you're working with other people that show that weakness in a way that's more apparent to the world or more obvious, or they're under a lot more mental duress than we are. Just that realization of all of us are broken and we're really all in this together. And God, God knows that about us, and he's ready for it. You know, he's ready for us. He knows all these things about our life, and that's not going to stop him from pursuing us, loving us. He expected it. He already knew. So it's
absolutely,
we're really all in this together in a deep way. And I just love in the Catholic faith that, if you really delve into our faith and our church, we're all about understanding suffering and facing it with Christ and with one another. And there's nothing for any of us to be ashamed of because we're all sinners, you know?
Absolutely. And we all have struggles. They may look different. Mm-hmm. Some may be more visible. Others, we are all struggling and we all need the help. We need help from God, of course,
sure,
first and foremost, but we all need help from one another in some way. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think that's the season of Lent just kind of highlights that too, because, you know, we do prayer and fasting and almsgiving, but I don't know about you, but when I do fasting, it makes me so aware of the weaknesses and struggles that I have. I'm more aware of it than I am any other time of the year, honestly. Because when you kind of pull back on some things to take a deeper look at yourself, you're like, well, I need a savior so much, you know.
Oh, right, right. The other part of that for me is then the gratitude. Giving something up just for me helps to heighten my gratitude for what, well, presuming I'm giving up something that's not evil and needs to be right. left beside forever.
Right, right.
Giving up something that is good and holy in my life, it just raises my level of gratitude so much. And so I think whenever we minister to someone who's in a place of pain, it helps us then to be so much more grateful for the fact that maybe that's not a pain that we currently have. Maybe in our life, instead, it's an area of blessing. And so, yes, gratitude is just whenever we help others, at least in my experience, I get a real boost in my gratitude levels.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I, you know, somebody once told me this, and I've always loved this line, is he said, you know, we're just here to walk each other home to the Father, you know, and that's what this is. That's what you're doing. And I wanted to thank you so much for all that you do, Jennifer, and things that like maybe a lot of us don't even realize what you do here in the diocese. Thank you so much for that. And for promoting this step in this direction of this mental health ministry. Thank you for coming on and sharing a little bit about yourself, but also sharing with us about this. So hopefully we can move forward in this direction to bring God's love in a deeper way to one another, especially people struggling. You know, thank you. Thank you for that. And please know you have my prayers anyway. So.
Thank you so much. And thank you for the opportunity to spread the word, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And I, you know, again, we mentioned this a little bit before, but just to reiterate, this education series for families on mental health is coming up. It's starting next Tuesday, so you didn't miss it yet. It's running April 19th through May 17th. It's on Tuesday evenings down at the Diocesan Center there across from the cathedral, and it's 6:30 to 8 p.m. in the evening. So please, if you know anybody that would like to go to that, or you yourself to go, it's good for everyone. You know, you don't even have to have somebody maybe in your home or that you know struggling, but it's something we all should know about to be prepared to help one another anytime, you know, with this cross in our life. And so please join us for that. And, you know, God bless all of you. I hope you have a really good Easter season. And thank you so much again, Jennifer, for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. And God bless all of you. Have a wonderful Easter, and we will be with you again soon. Bye now.